one of the ways that we've been talking about learning to experience God personally is through what I've been calling the include me prayer. Wherever you go, whoever you're with, you just say, God, would you show me what you're doing? And then would you include me in it? You pray that God will involve you because he's a good daddy and he loves to share what he's doing with his children. Last week, I asked you all to write some stories, send me some emails if you've been experiencing God. I got a bunch of those. Some of the most, the neatest ones for me were from our teenagers. I don't have time to read them this morning, so I'm going to read them, or I'll share some of them next week, hopefully. But just great stories of experiencing God. But let me put our flow chart up there just to show you the process that we're walking through to show you how you relate to God. First, we got to understand that God is at work. He's doing something in the world. He's not just standing by, just, okay, here's your world, go play in it. He's actually doing something. And what's he doing? Well, number two, he is reconciling people, drawing them into a relationship with him. Everything God's doing in this moment is about reconciling people to himself, saying, come be in relationship with me. A relationship where I'm your good and loving father, and you take on, you receive willingly my loving authority. Not my judgmental, condemning authority. No, my loving authority. That's what God wants, the kind of relationship God wants us to have with him. And in that relationship, it's really an invitation to submit to him the way a child submits to and trusts their parent. God is saying, yeah, I want you to submit and follow me. Just put your feet in my footsteps. I know where we're going. Follow me, and I'm going to give you the best life possible. I guarantee it. That's what the invitation is, to deny ourselves and put him in the driver's seat. But if we don't do that, nothing else matters, because the first thing we have to do is relate to God in the way that he says is right. And that way is with him as the father and us as the children. But when we say yes to that, when we do that, then God says an amazing thing. The Bible tells us that God speaks to us. I want you to open your Bibles, or maybe you already have them. Luke chapter 10. Let me just read you something, an event that took place. Jesus and his disciples, it says they were on their way, Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to Jesus and she asked him, Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And the Lord answers her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what's better, and it won't be taken from her. Two things I want you to see. First is can you see or hear the compassion in Jesus' heart for Martha? Do you see that? I know the Bible, I know the first few verses says that she was distracted by all the preparations. But Jesus says, you're worried and upset about many things. I think he's looking past just the meal preparation. He's not just talking about napkins and bread and wine. I think he sees Martha. And like us, like with us, he knows that she has many things that she's worried about, many things she's upset about. And how does Jesus, God in the flesh, respond to us when we get tied up in our concerns and our worries and our fears, and they're huge? He responds with the same compassion with which he responded to Martha. I can just see him kind of take her face in his hand and say, oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. He's not condemning. He's gentle. He's validating. He knows where she is. He says, I get it, Martha, but I'm not going to leave you there. What Mary's doing, she's chosen what's better. That's where you need to be. And look back in verse 39 to see what Mary is doing. Mary is at the Lord's feet listening to what he's saying. The one thing that's needed is to listen and to hear Jesus' voice. That's what we need. We need, like Mary, like Martha, we need to sit and we need to listen and to hear Jesus speak to us. You know, for a long time in my life, I knew that I wanted to have a daily time, that, you know, kind of I set aside a quiet daily time to be just with Jesus and the Word of God. But I struggled with that. I struggled with the discipline of doing that. It felt like obligation a lot of times. I mean, like I knew I was supposed to do it, but the Bible to me in this season was kind of more just a book of lessons that I was, okay, I need to get as many of these lessons as I can. And I'm not saying it was always lifeless or dry, but a lot of times I didn't come with much expectation of experiencing anything. And when you don't come to the Bible or your quiet time with much expectation of God meeting you or you experiencing anything powerful or life-giving, well, then, like me, other busy things begin to take precedent and priority. It's amazing how important email seems to be, or getting out the door, or reading the news is, or checking Facebook. Not for me, but I know there's some out there. It's amazing how important those things become when you don't expect anything powerful or life-giving to happen. That's where I was. Prayer for me was largely just telling God all my needs and all my concerns, and once I was done, I'd hang up the phone. It's kind of like playing ping pong by yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. I'd hang up the phone because I had no expectation or understanding that God would actually speak to me. And what's crazy about it is I grew up in a church where every Sunday my dad would kneel on the platform and lead us into a time of stillness and say, "God, I'm listening." And yet somehow, right over my head, prayer was a one-sided conversation. And then I went through a crisis in my life. I'll tell it another time. You know me, I don't mind sharing that kind of stuff. I went through a crisis and I didn't know what to do. And things were coming to a head and something was going to have to happen. And I was feeling anxiety. I was feeling worry. And I was like, "God, I need to hear something from you. I need something beyond the norm." And I read this book by a guy named Richard Foster. It's a book called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. And in it, Foster was using scriptures that I'd seen before. I mean, I'd grown up in the church and knew the Bible somewhat, and I'd seen these scriptures, but Foster was talking about them as if he believed them, as if they were true, as if they were real. Like when Jesus says, when he's out in the desert being tempted by Satan, as he begins his ministry, Jesus goes into the desert. Satan tempts him, and Jesus says this, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Like, to really live life the way the creator of life defines life, we have to hear him speak. We have to hear his voice, know his voice, know his will. In fact, Jesus isn't just coming up with this brand new. He's referring back to the early part of Exodus where Moses says, you know, the reason we were in the desert was because God had to teach us that we don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. From the very beginning, you and I, we were designed to hear God speak. We were designed to be in intimate, close relationship with him. And see, and this is the paradox. I knew that God was a personal God, but I didn't really expect him to relate to me personally. Do you see the contradiction there? And Jesus brought that truth and that lie head to head. And I began to realize, oh my goodness, he actually speaks. Today, when I'm doing what we're talking about, and I only have a few minutes, so I'm gonna hustle. This is just an introduction. I think as I was working on this message, I think I'm gonna teach a whole series on hearing God. But for now, I just want you to know that God speaks and he wants you to hear him. Listen to what he says in John 14. Or I'll just say this. You know, he spoke to Adam and Eve, and granted, they were in a little bit of different category because the world had not experienced sin yet. So even put Adam and Eve to the side. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to David, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob. All of these people were normal, everyday people. And then God speaks to them, and they obey, and he does extraordinary things through them. Isaiah, Malachi, Habakkuk, just normal people. But God speaks to them, and they listen and obey. They experience him, and life changes for them. Mary and Martha, just two normal people. And Jesus is saying, not just for that moment, but he's telling all of us, listening, hearing me, that's the most important thing. The disciples, you know, and Jesus says this in John 14. He says to his disciples, right before he leaves, he says, the Father will give you another advocate to help you, who will be with you forever. Who is this advocate? It's the Spirit of Truth. Then he says, now the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him and it doesn't know him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Okay? And then what's the Holy Spirit going to do? Look in verse 13. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What will he do? He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. This is just one verse, a couple of verses of what the Bible says. And what does he say the Holy Spirit's going to do? The Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. He's going to tell us even what is to come. That doesn't always mean the future, but when we look at Scripture, God opens our eyes through the Holy Spirit to understand what he's really talking about. And does this include you? Does this include us? Yes, it includes us. All who call on the name of the Lord are saved. When we believe that Jesus makes us right with God, when we receive his authority in our life, then the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13 that the Holy Spirit of God, God reciprocates and gives the Holy Spirit to us. And if you have the Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit do? He speaks the words of God to us, and you'll know him. Maybe you've not experienced that. Maybe you've read that and wished it were true, but you haven't experienced it. I'm telling you, it's true. You can experience it. Listen, though. Listen as Paul describes more what it means in 1 Corinthians 2:12. What we have received when we trusted in Jesus, what we have received is the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. God wants us to understand. Do you get that? One of the big purposes of the Holy Spirit is for us to understand God. What do we understand? Well, we don't understand in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Have you ever read that before? Has it ever just sailed past you? But when we stop right now, when we put this in context, do you see what God wants you to experience? He's not talking about just the spiritual elite who have graduate degrees in theology or the people who just are called to prayer. Doesn't every mommy or daddy want their child, all of their children, to know their voice? You know, when I take the babies around, you know what I notice every time is that the moment Colleen stopped speaking and the microphone was handed to the parent and the parent started speaking, the child's head went like this. You know, they don't have a whole lot of muscular control, but neither do I. So they were like, what? Because they heard mom or they heard dad. We want our children to know our voice. And God is like, why do you think you're like that? Because you are made in my image. He wants you to know his voice. But they're words that are spoken, not by human wisdom, but words of the Spirit, spiritual realities, Spirit-taught words. And then he says this, the person without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. What's the most common word in this passage? It's the word Spirit. We rely on the Holy Spirit, and through Him, He relays to us, speaks to us. We experience God through the Holy Spirit, and we need that. We need that. That's why Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You were made for intimacy. Life is not fully lived out unless we're in relationship with Him, like we're talking about. But you know, sometimes we don't hear God. You know why we don't hear Him? Here's some reasons. I'm moving kind of quickly. I'm throwing out all my awesome, juicy illustrations, okay? Because I want you to get to the truth here. Sometimes we don't hear Him because nobody told us we could. That's not how I grew up. I grew up with my dad kneeling on the stage saying, I'm listening. I was just stupid, okay? I just missed it. But some of us weren't taught. We didn't know. We thought, okay, I've got this book here, and it's God's love letter, and it is. But what we forget sometimes is that God wants to speak His love letter to our hearts. He doesn't want us just to have to read it. He wants us to hear Him. So sometimes we didn't know that we could. That's what I'm telling you today, though. Sometimes we don't expect that He will. Sort of like me, I would come to the prayer, my quiet time, and I would think, well, okay, not really expecting much. Sometimes we don't hear Him speak because something is blocking us from hearing Him. You know the things that block us? One of those things is busyness. And here's the deal. You know, we talked about the body, the soul, and the spirit a couple of weeks ago. And I told you that our flesh, our body, is infected with this disease called sin, which leads us to resist God and want to go a direction other than His direction. Well, Satan, our spiritual enemy, works to manipulate that. And our flesh does not want to yield to God. It doesn't want to be still. Our flesh wants to be busy. Our flesh wants to be constantly doing things. And busyness keeps us from hearing God's voice. It does. It's just like with my wife, though. You know, if she's telling me something and she notices that I'm on my phone, she'll stop. And in her loving, gentle way, I'm actually being serious, she'll say, because maybe she thinks I'm doing an email or something, she'll say, hey, I'll tell you this later. I'll tell you when after you're done. Because the important things to her heart, I'm not privy to the important things of her heart while I'm multitasking. She wants the eye-on-eye contact. She wants the focus. I want that same thing too. When we stay busy, we don't hear God very much. Sometimes we're too distracted. I tell you, the worst thing for drawing close to Jesus is this thing right here. I'm not saying it can't be a tool, but this is the worst thing. It sucks up all the available time in our lives. Like, if I'm at a stoplight, of course, I don't text while I'm driving without Siri, but when I'm at a stoplight and I know I'm going to have to wait through maybe two rotations of the stoplight, so I know I'm just, you know, going to inch up behind this one car in front of me, what do? I pick this bad boy up, and what do I do with it? I send a text. I check the news. I don't do social media. You might do social media. We fill up all the available space. Nowadays, man, the 5 minutes you had at the stoplight, the 2 minutes you had there, or like if you go to lunch and you got there a few minutes before the person you were meeting there, what do? You pull out the phone. And all the available space is just immediately sucked up by this vacuum of this, our need to be informed. And we even think it's admirable. Well, I need to be abreast of the world's events. This kills intimacy. It kills intimacy in a marriage. It kills intimacy with our kids. And it kills intimacy with Jesus. You got to be mindful of that. Another thing that will keep us from experiencing God is when we fill our head with violent and sexual images. I'm not telling you what to do, but quite a number of years ago, I just said, you know what, I'm done with R-rated movies. They're R-rated for a reason. And I would find myself, even though I knew the violence wasn't real, that when I fill my head with violent or sexually provocative images, that gets in the way because that's not compatible with God. It's not compatible with Jesus. That's why He says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And we won't hear Him either. You need to be mindful of what you're allowing into your brain and what you're dwelling on. It will get in your way. It either draws you closer to Jesus or it pushes you further away from Jesus. There are very few things that are benign. Very few things are in that middle ground. Another thing that keeps us from hearing the Lord is unconfessed sin, or sin from which we have not repented. Repent, the Greek word, means to change our minds and say, you know what? This is not what I want to dwell on. I want to dwell on you. I change my mind to something better. When I have things in my life that I know are not God's best for me, yet I continue in them anyway, that's like an elephant in the room. In the same way it is with my human relationships. If you and I have an argument or I offend you and I don't make it right and I don't reconcile that problem, then can I just go about life like it's normal and expect you to treat me like normal? No, you're kind of like going, hey, dude, we got to deal with this thing. Jesus is doing the same thing. Hey, dudamai, which is Greek for dude. Hey, dudamai. I went to seminary once on a Tuesday. No, I did go to seminary. He's like, hey, this is a problem. We need to deal with this thing. I was with a man one time, and he was in need of hearing the Lord, and he wasn't hearing the Lord. And he was like, I don't know why God's not answering me. And I said, well, so we kind of went through some of this checklist. Are you taking time to be with him? Do you expect him to speak to you? We were kind of going through this. Yes, yes, yes. We got to, is there anything in your life that you're holding on to that you know for a fact is not God's best for you? And immediately he was like, oh, yeah. There was something he was engaged in that he knew that wasn't God's best, but he was doing it anyway. And I'm like, bro, as soon as he repented of that, as soon as he changed his mind and turned away from that, the Lord spoke to him. He got the answer that he needed. It wasn't the answer he wanted. It was the answer he needed, though. Sometimes one of the things that blocks us from hearing the Lord is because we're afraid of what he might say. Our enemy speaks words of condemnation and shame to us, and we speak that over ourselves. I mean, like just a moment ago, I said, you know, my dad and mom taught me how to listen to the Lord, but I didn't catch it. Why? Because I was stupid. I just said, you know, and we speak like that over ourselves all the time. I mean, I was just joking a little bit, but we speak self-condemning, shaming words over ourselves. And so then we project that onto God, and we think that he's going to talk to me like that, that's what he thinks, disappointment, anger, shame. So we don't really want to hear what God has to say. Now, he's not like that. He's just not like that. But those are some reasons we don't hear him. But let me tell you how he speaks, okay? And you can feel free to take your, I know I said your phones are evil, but you can also use your phone to take a picture of the screens if you want to hear something, because I'm moving fast. I'm giving you stuff that you're going to need to chew on a little bit. How does God speak? Always speaks through the Holy Spirit. Remember? Remember what? Go back to that verse, 1 Corinthians 2 for a moment. We can only understand the Spirit-taught words, the spiritual realities, through the Spirit. So everything is in, why is everything through the Holy Spirit? Because God wants a relationship with us. He's not saying, hey, here's this book, catch it, good luck. He's not like Survivor, you know? And so it's always going to be through the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit speak? The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. Now go back to that screen. He speaks through the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Here we have this physical book that we see with our physical eyes, and yet with the Holy Spirit, it transcends the physical realm into the emotional, mental, intellectual realm, and then into the spiritual realm. It crosses all three boundaries because of the Holy Spirit. The reason why this book, the reason why I can preach the same passage over and over again, I know there's a meaning to it, but the reason I can preach application over and over again is because the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He's like, man, this is what you need to say about this right now. He speaks through his word. You be in his word. Be devoted to it. The Spirit also speaks directly. He often speaks directly to you, not while you're reading the Bible, often not in scriptural terms. Sometimes he'll give you a picture, or he'll bring a thought to your mind, or he'll give you a dream. I wish I had more time to give some illustrations. Maybe I'll do it next week, and we'll just extend the series one extra time. But the Holy Spirit will often speak directly to you. Third, the Holy Spirit speaks through the word, the people of God. A lot of the things that God wants you to hear and know, the encouragement, the instruction, the hope, the comfort, the strength, much of that he is going to give you through your relationships with his people. Why? Well, remember, what's he all about? Relationships. He wants you as the father and as his child, realize you're not an only child, you're in a family. And as you walk in community, God reserves some of his strengthening, comforting, instructive words to be delivered to each of us through one another. He wants me to get it from you, and he wants me to give it to you. That's why we do life groups the way we do. It's not just because you need friends because you're a lonely person. It's because there's this treasure trove, Ephesians 2 calls it an inheritance of the Lord in the people of God. There's this treasure trove of comfort and instruction and wisdom that God has for you, but he's only going to give it in the context of others who are walking with him. He wants you to give it, and he wants you to receive it. That's why we do life groups the way we do. That's why they're more than just, they're always centered on the Word of God, but they're more than just somebody talking to you about the Bible. They're more than us just discussing a passage without letting it sink into our lives and change us. We want the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to bless so he can bless us. A fourth way that the Holy Spirit speaks is through circumstances. And I know some of you have experienced this. Lots of you have. Through a song, through a door that opens up, through something that just sounds like, wow, I just bumped into this person and I hadn't seen him in forever and whatever. You know, he works through circumstances as well. But how can we know for sure that when we hear something or think we've heard something through one of these ways, how do we know for sure? How can we know that it's Jesus talking? It's the Holy Spirit. The reason I use those interchangeably sometimes, or they're different, and yet the Holy Spirit is often called the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Jesus, so that we'll know that the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. No need to fear. You wouldn't be afraid if Jesus came in. We don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Jesus. So let me tell you, how can we recognize, go to the next slide, let me see what I put up there. How can we know that what we hear is the Holy Spirit? Well, first, there's always agreement between what the Holy Spirit says and the Word of God and the people of God. It's almost like triangulation. Anything that I read in the Word that is confirmed by the Holy Spirit, and if I'm not sure it's him, I can go to my life group and say, here's what I'm hearing, guys. And it's confirmed by all three, boom, that's the Word. I can know that that's God speaking to me and for me. I don't have to worry about it. I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but I also don't want to make it like you've got to come into God with some sort of, you know, attire on and some sort of protocol for, you know, walk this way, then bow, then walk this way, and then bow, or something like this. When Jesus died, you know the first thing that happened when he died on that cross? The veil inside the temple ripped in half. The veil that separated the rest of the temple from the place called the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence, the literal presence of God was. Jesus dies, and that veil, this heavy veil that no one could go past except one priest one time a year, it tears, and now everybody can see into the Holy of Holies. Everyone, no, I mean, there's no barrier. Anyone can go into the Holy of Holies. And then Jesus tells us that now we're the Holy of Holies. He tells us in Christ and through faith in Christ, Ephesians 1:12, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. You know who approaches me with freedom and confidence? My daughters. You know, especially when they were little, running, hugging. That Jesus gives us that picture so we'll know. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. When he speaks, we can look at the Word, the Spirit, and the people of God and know if it's in that, we've heard from the Lord. He uses that framework. Sometimes he also uses circumstances, but not always. Sometimes you got to wait. But he'll use the people, the Spirit, and the Word. He always speaks, number two, consistent with Scripture. He's already told us his will in the Bible. A lot of his will. So anything the Spirit says is going to be consistent with that. He may build upon that, but he'll never contradict his Word. So when a friend told me this week that he felt like his marriage was a mess, not a cross-bridger, but his marriage was a mess, and that maybe it was, you know, a guy can only take so much, and he was thinking about getting out of it because he knew that God maybe had more for him. And I said, well, I don't think he does have more for you in that way, because he's already told us that he hates divorce. Now, I know some of you have been through the car wreck, the train wreck of divorce. God doesn't hate the people who go through those train wrecks. He just hates the train wreck because it hurts, right? But I'm like, hey, bro, we know that's not where God's leading you because of what his Word says. The Holy Spirit always speaks consistent with the Word of God. Also, when you hear, and this is important. What's the next one up? See what I have. May have it in my notes differently. Nope, go down. 1, 2, 3. Now the next one. Oh, nothing. Okay. It's okay. You tried to show me, didn't you? And I wouldn't take the bait. Wouldn't take the cue. When he speaks, he always speaks consistent with his character. You know 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians 13 is often called the love chapter. And 1 John 4:7 says that God is love. So if God is love and 1 Corinthians is the love chapter, what's 1 Corinthians doing? It's describing God. God is patient and God is kind. God keeps no record of wrongs. God is not easily angered. We're talking about his children here. God always hopes, always trusts, always protects, always perseveres. When you hear from God, if there's a voice in your head, it had better match up with the character of God, because he is unchanging. And the way he's going to speak to you and what he's going to speak with you is going to match up with his character as described in this case in 1 Corinthians 13. His tone will also match up with what we know his character to be. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The presence of God. The way he speaks, what he speaks, his intention in speaking is always couched in love and joy. In peace, in patience, in kindness, in goodness, in gentleness, in faithfulness. That this is how he's going to speak to you. When the Holy Spirit is speaking, this is how he's going to speak. This is his heart that he's going to relate to you. So if you're here in condemnation and you're his child, if you're here in shame and you're his child, and you're waiting on the Lord and all you hear is disappointment, you're not hearing from the Lord. He has said in Romans 8 that for his children, there is no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Jesus. He's taking care of that. You start listening for words of love. You start listening for words that reaffirm who he is. Listening for words that with encouragement, even as God disciplines you, because he says he disciplines us the way a father disciplines his children. But how does a father, a good father, and we all mess up in this, how's a good father discipline his children? We do it with self-control. When we all blow up at times, we don't want to though, but we do. God doesn't blow up. Like us, when we do it right, it says, hey, he takes time. This is not my best for you. There's something better. And I want you to have all that I've designed for you. So he stops, but he speaks in words of love. He doesn't speak in words of shame. And here's another thing that's really cool. His voice is often understandable. Well, his voice is understandable, and it's often familiar. I remember when I discovered this, that, oh, I was looking for some booming voice. You know, like a couple of, like, where's Matthew Warren? Is he here? Matthew has this great voice I'm going to have like when I'm in heaven. All right. I'm not going to pull you up on stage, though. But I actually have this deep voice, you know, like, and God's like, look at the prophets. You know, if you are familiar enough with the Bible, you can read the Old Testament prophets and you can say, that's Isaiah. I know it. Because Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit to project and prophesy the words of God, still spoke out of his personality and his own style. God's not looking to turn you into a robot and, you know, do a lobotomy on you and now you only talk like a robot. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see, like Matthew was a tax collector, accountant person. That's why at the very beginning, what does he want you to know? Here's the lineage of Jesus. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, come on, man, loosen up a little bit. But we see, I'm not really, but we see his personality. We see the way God made him come through in what he wrote. We see a difference between the way that Paul wrote and the way that James wrote, the way that John wrote and the way that Peter wrote. I'm just saying, when you are listening for the Lord and you're still before him, he'll speak in ways that are understandable and are familiar to you. He may even use words or phrases that are common to how you speak and think. Well, and wait a second, how's that different from me just talking to myself? Well, you can only hear spirit things if the Spirit gives them to you. But when you surrender to him and you're asking for him to speak and you're in the word of God and he speaks in a manner that's consistent with his character and his tone and his will, you have experienced God. He's not far away. He's right here. And here's what we're going to do. I believe this so much, we're not going to have an offering today, okay? Because I don't have time. So if you're going to give money to Crossbridge, give it electronically or put it in the box, because we're going to do something more important than us giving our money today, okay? I'm going to put Zephaniah 3:17 on the screen. We're just going to practice for a second, okay? I want you to do this. We're going to read this. The guys are going to play some music just to drown out some extraneous noise. And I want you to ask God two questions. I want you to ask him, would you show me or tell me something? Would you tell me something about you, God? All right? And then, I'll give you the cue. I want you to ask God this. Would you tell me something about me? All right? I'm not looking for you to, you know, do some grammatical exercise on this scripture or some inductive Bible study. We're just going to read it. I'm going to pray at the beginning, and then we're going to ask God, would you show me something that's true about you? And then would you show me something that's true about me, your perspective on me, all right? So let's pray. Jesus, Lord God, you said we could only understand you through the Spirit. So we're just going to give you room. You said we can't live, but that we live from every word that proceeds from your mouth. You said only one thing is important, that we sit and listen. So Lord, as we read this and then we're still and quiet, would you tell us something that's true about you? Once you read it, just maybe close your eyes and think about it and give him some room. Lord God, would you show me or tell me something that's true about me? Would you remind me what you think of me? Would you say yes to God? If he showed you something about himself, if he reminded you of what he feels about you, something out of his character of love and kindness and gentleness, something out of his character of keeping no record of wrongs, would you just in your heart say, Lord, I receive what you just told me. I know that perhaps as much as anything, Lord, in our service this morning, one thing was important, that we be still. Lord, I pray your blessing over these sweet ones, Lord, that they would say yes to your offer to speak, that they would come expectantly, Lord, that they would push out lies, and they would press in, God, and that you would, like you said in Hebrews, you would reward those who earnestly seek you. We thank you that you're faithful. You're going to do what you said you're going to do. You will give us the Spirit. You will speak to us. You will not abandon us. You want us to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.